724. It's chapter 40, verses 1 to 11. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all the people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are like grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Pray for Daniel.
As you bring God's word to us. So, loving God, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for the story of you at work amongst your people. And we pray for Daniel now. We thank you for him. We thank you for the preparation that he has done. We thank you for the person you have made him to be. May you speak through his heart, his mind, his mouth this morning. And may we receive your word for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Everyone. And here we are in December once again. Who can believe it? Christmas is just around the corner, just a couple of weeks away. And I don't know about you, but it seems as though Christmas every year seems to come earlier. It seems as though the years get shorter or Christmas begins to come earlier. Where does the time go, I wonder? You know, it's incredible. And actually, maybe it is because every year the Christmas season seems to start a little earlier, actually. Or at least the familiar signposts pointing to Christmas seem to appear earlier and earlier each year. So, and this year has been no exception at all, actually. I saw Christmas cards in the shops in September. I heard Christmas music playing in October. And around the end of October, you begin to see on TV the first crop of Christmas adverts. You know, Mum's gone to Iceland. And you see those really flash Marks and Spencer adverts that must cost a fortune to produce. And of course, as we reach November, the signposts to Christmas increase, don't they? We see the first wave of decorations going up in shops and in supermarkets and things like that. And you begin to see those little quarter-sized Christmas trees. I've just realised we've got one over there, actually. You begin to see those cropping up in shops in the corner of shops, and it's almost as if the shops themselves are a little bit embarrassed to put the decorations up so early, but they can't help themselves. And so these little Christmas trees appear in the corner of shops. And then, of course, you know, as we draw on through November, the signposts to Christmas just get more prominent, don't they? Here's one, actually, that reminds me that Christmas is near. Who watches Strictly Come Dancing? Jackie does. Who else? I do as well. I love it. What about I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here? Yes, I watch that as well. And, you know, every time I see those two shows on TV, I know that Christmas is just around the corner. And, of course, then we have, towards the end of November, and we begin to have those conversations, don't we? Whether it's at college or at school or at work, you know, such as, you know, what are you doing for Christmas? What's your plans for Christmas? You know, and as November comes to an end, you begin to think, now, what am I doing for Christmas? What are my plans? And you also begin to think things like this. When am I going to put my decorations up? Is the first week of December too early? Is the last week of December too late? There's a hint to Mum there. When am I going to get to do all my Christmas shopping? Why is everything so expensive? And when am I going to get 10 minutes just to sit down and chill out and just forget about Christmas just for 10 minutes? And then, of course, December hits, doesn't it? And it's all out. It's all out for the season. And Christmas trees, they spring up all over the place. Christmas tunes blow out from every speaker in the land, every shop, every bank, every train station, there's Christmas tunes. Contestants begin dropping like flies on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And actually, you begin to wish, some of us begin to wish that we could join those celebrities in the jungle, I think, just for 10 minutes, just to get away from everything. And then, of course, the Christmas adverts really begin to bombard us on telly. And everyone is talking about Christmas. You begin to count down the days until school breaks up or you get some time off work or college ends. And you begin planning presents and buying food. And all the signposts are here. Christmas is near and there is so much still to do. And as December draws on, it may feel like a race to the finish line, in fact, and we can find ourselves beginning to forget what the true meaning of Christmas is in all of the bustle and hustle of the month. What is the true meaning of Christmas? Now, of course, we had our reading today from the book of Isaiah, which, as Jodie said, is quite fitting because it's the second week of Advent. And we remember the prophets that God has sent throughout history. Of course, Isaiah is one of the greatest prophets in the Bible. And he prophesied to Israel for over 40 years, speaking various messages from God. Now, at this point, I need a volunteer, preferably someone shorter than me. So I'm going to go on the hunt for a volunteer. Who fancies helping me out for this next part of my talk? Anyone? Okay, I might have to pick someone. Fantastic, Rafe. Brilliant. Wow, he's got some energy. Good. Okay. Now, I have something for you. Do you want to come and stand here? Good. How are you today?
Good.
Brilliant. Looking forward to Christmas?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, now, I have something for you. Right, I have a part for you to play this morning. Okay, and it's a very special part. Okay, you're going to play Israel, the people of the living God. Okay, so I want you to hold this just nice and still there. How's that? Good. Okay, brilliant. So Rafe is going to play Israel. Okay, I bet you didn't expect that this morning, did you? No. Okay, good. Right, and of course it's a very special part to play because you are playing the nation that God chose to show his love to the world. Yeah, you're a signpost pointing to the living God. Okay, so there's no pressure there at all. Okay, so do we all know the story of Israel? I'm just going to recap very briefly, and it begins a long, long time ago. I'm not going to go through the whole Old Testament, don't panic. And God chose a man named Abraham, or Abram, as he was known at the time. And Abraham was an ordinary man, nobody special. In fact, he was chosen by God simply because God chose him. But to Abraham, God made a promise. And God promised Abraham that he would give him many, many descendants, that to his children he would give many children of their own, and to their children many children, so that before long there would be as many as the stars in the sky, so to speak. And God promised that he would turn them all into a great nation called Israel. Okay, so that's you, Rafe. And God promised to bless Israel as a father loves a child, and to bless the people of Israel and with lands that they could call their own. Don't worry, your part is coming up soon, so be patient. And by doing this, God would show his power and his mercy and his love for all mankind, because Israel would be a signpost to all nations. And Israel would show the goodness of God by obeying God, by walking in his ways and following his instructions, and by loving their God with all of their heart, mind, strength and soul, and by loving each other too. And God would do the rest. He would bless Israel over and over and over, as God would be seen more and more through his people. And through them, God would draw the whole world to the one true God. So that was the plan. Okay, so you're going to be a light to the nations. Does that sound like a good deal, Rafe, to you? Does that sound like a good plan? Good, okay. However, somebody failed to keep their side of the bargain. Hey, Rafe. So who do you think it was? Do you think God failed to keep his side of the bargain? Do you think maybe Israel failed to keep their side of the bargain? Who do you think? Israel, yes. Unfortunately, Israel began to disobey God. And when they did, this is what happened. And I have some stickers here. Now, Rafe, I wonder if I can just place some of these onto your sign. Okay, they say sin. You know what sin is? It's all bad stuff. Okay, so when you misbehave and drive your parents up the wall, that's sin. Okay, so we're going to put some sin on here like this. Okay. Now, as you can see, something is happening to this sign. I'll turn it around so you can see. So can you see this, Rafe? I'll just turn this around. What's happening to the sign?
People are behaving bad.
Yeah, that's right, and it's being hidden, isn't it? So suddenly, God's purpose is for Israel. God sending Israel as a light and a sign to the nation. Suddenly, Israel are covered by sin. Okay. Yep, so Israel failed to love the Lord their God with all of their heart, and they failed to love each other too. So I'm going to turn you away now at this point, to sort of symbolize you turning away from God. Okay? Brilliant. And in doing so, Israel stopped God from being seen through them, by their sin. And so God would have no choice but to punish Israel. And sometimes Israel would turn back to God and say, sorry, so do you want to turn back this way? There we go. Okay? And God would forgive them and bless them again. But then Israel would begin to sin again, so they turn away again, so you want to turn that way, yes. And then God would punish them again, and Israel would come to repentance, they turn back again, okay. And then they'd sin again, so they turn that way again, they go, and God would then punish them, so they turn back again. All right, how are you feeling? A bit dizzy?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay, yes. Well, do you know what? You're not the only one. I mean, God was beginning to get sick of this, you know, of this cycle of sin, repentance, sin and repentance, and this couldn't go on forever. And so God sent prophets to Israel, and they would cry out telling people that God loved them and wanted to bless them, not to punish them, but to warn them if they did not turn from their ways permanently, God would have no choice but to punish Israel more severely. Bless you, Quentin. to punish Israel more severely for their sin than ever before. And so Isaiah was one of those prophets who was sent to warn Israel. And he had a tough job, actually, this poor guy, because he spent years warning Israel that judgment was coming, and he held up various signposts through what he said, telling Israel to stop and to turn around and to say sorry from the bottom of their hearts before it was too late, before God punished them by forcing them from the land that he had given them. But a lot of the time, what Isaiah said just fell on deaf ears. You refused to listen. And Israel did not want to listen to Isaiah. Israel would rather go their own way. They would rather ignore the warnings that God was sending them. And so God had no choice. And he forced Israel out of the land he'd given them. We know about the exile. And we're told that God punished Israel twice over for all of her sins. So do you want to look sad? Because you've been punished. There you go. You've lost the land. Yes. Okay. That's a really good sad face. That's making me feel sad. Okay. But that's not the end of the story, Rafe. So don't worry. It's not the end of the story. Because God made a promise to Abraham. And God is a God who keeps his promises. And he would never give up on Israel. Okay, because he loved them. And he was determined to be seen through Israel. And so Isaiah was given another signpost to hold up to Israel. And it was the reading we heard this morning. And it's a signpost of hope and of promise. And it was a signpost promising restoration for Israel and for other nations. And this signpost, if you read it carefully, points to someone special, someone even more special than Rafe. Someone who would restore Israel's relationship with God in a way where sin could never intrude again, never could break it again. And that someone is Jesus. And this is where, Israel, your story becomes our story. Because Jesus would come to earth in the first Christmas that there ever was. And he'd be born a baby, just like you were. But he would grow up just like he would laugh, he would cry, he would feel pain, he would feel joy. But where we failed, Jesus would succeed in obeying God in every way. And that put Jesus in a completely unique position to do this. To take the sin that we have stuck to us, with all the bad things we've done, all the hurt that we've caused people, all of the thoughts we've had that haven't been very godly. And he takes all of those things which break our relationship with God, and he would do something extraordinary as a free gift to us because he loved us. And what he did involved a cross, it involved being spat on and mocked, beaten, it involved being rejected. It involved becoming sin for us. And it involved death so that we might live. Because Jesus took our sin, nailing that sin to the cross, and taking it away forever. So, Rafe, what has happened now? If you look at your sign, it's clear again, isn't it? And what's happened to the sin?
They've been thrown away.
That's right, absolutely. Taken as far as east is from west, as the Bible says. And Jesus did this so that all of us, every single one of us in this room, every single one of us outside of this room, can enjoy a full and intimate relationship with God forever, so that God can be seen through us. And that's the amazing God that we worship this morning. It's Emmanuel, God with us. Through the good times and the bad, when we obey and when we don't, God always with us. So I thank the volunteers. Do you want to go and sit down? Well done, Ray. Take that back. Thank you. So I just want to just finish up really quickly by just reminding us then of something. And that is, as we race towards Christmas, and it is a race sometimes, as we see those signposts of the world telling us to spend money and to overindulge and to eat loads and do all those things, just to remember God's signpost, to remember who we should be celebrating at Christmas, and what they have done for us in the person in Jesus, and just to tell people as well that Jesus is risen, and he is victorious. His very name means victory, and he calls each of us to be signposts to the world, and to point to him, one that is greater than any present we can get at Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.